irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good, how are you?
You haven't gotten a round of applause just for being here.
No, just showing up, you get a round of applause. That's
See, that's how it works.
That's how we do it now.
How have you been, man?
Good.
You've been missing in action a little bit.
I had a show last week, but...
Where did you perform last week?
Some bar somewhere. It's always
some bar.
Where was it?
You better hope nobody dictates your own bio for your own words. Here. Some bar.
Wherever you can get up. Whenever you can get on stage, that's where you get on stage.
How long did you do? 15 minutes? An hour?
Like 15 or 20, something like that.
15, 20. You see the Robin Williams documentary?
I have not seen it. I've heard great things.
You're going to like it.
I've heard great things.
It's very, very good. I've been waiting since Sundance to see it.
Yeah.
Very happy it came out.
You didn't see it at Sundance?
You know what? It was one of those. There's certain movies that you know you're going to see. The Kurt Cobain one was the same the year before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you already heard that HBO got it or Showtime got it or some network, and you know it's going to be released. So it's actually the ones that you're not going to always get the chance to see, or the ones that you know they're going to be Q&As for.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I really try hard to get into.
I hear you.
But really, it's like you kind of just get what you can get. And I've been very fortunate. But Robin Williams, that come inside my mind, very...
I don't like the title, but everything else is...
Yeah, I kind of thought...
It's a little, it's a little shaky
honest,
of a title.
I probably would have put more footage of his stand-up in there. There was a lot in there, but...
Yeah.
I think they could have done more bits and more behind the scenes, but they did a lot. They really chronicled his life. I saw a lot of projects that I didn't even know he did, and there's some things about his life that I just wasn't aware of. So it was actually really done well. I was very pleased. I was thinking about you the whole time. I was like, Eddie's going to dig this.
I was a huge fan when I was a kid.
He's the best, man. What was your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Popeye.
Popeye, the OG, original gangster. But it didn't do well.
No, it was a bomb. It was supposed to be a Superman. Because he was like good friends with Christopher Reeve.
That's
right. And Christopher Reeve had just gotten Superman and made him a huge star. And he took on Popeye thinking that was going to be his Superman. And it was a humongous flop.
And Christopher Reeve is the godfather of his child.
Yeah, they were best friends. They went to Juilliard together.
Yeah, that's right. That's such an odd pairing, though. But how cool is that, too? But yeah, he was great in that. I love that movie.
Yeah, I loved it as a kid. I mean, it's not a great movie by any stretch, but I loved it.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite Robin Williams. I think Good Will Hunting is up there. Aladdin is up there.
Yeah, I know.
But there's a lot of them.
I have, I was so taken by that movie when I was a kid that just,
Good Morning Vietnam, classic movie.
Yeah. He's got some stinkers, too, so.
He's got a lot of stinkers.
He whiffed
But you know what? It's funny. He's like... He took chances on projects that most actors at his level probably wouldn't have done.
Yeah, I mean, if you love to work, you love to work. You know,
right, right.
Kevin Hart's doing it right now.
Right.
So is The Rock.
Right.
And they're just turning out movies. They don't,
Well, like RV, I was kind of surprised that he took on RV. That was not a great movie.
Oh, Father's Day with Billy Crystal?
Right.
That was the only movie I ever walked into where when I was giving the guy my ticket, he's like, if you leave halfway through, you get your money back, right? That's what he said as I was walking into the movie. And I was like, okay, thank you for letting me know that.
You're like, this is good.
And to this day, I've used that several times.
Did you know that he and Steve Martin did that play together?
What play?
They did, I think it was called Gal for Godot or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. But
Steve Martin's a wonderful playwright. He's amazing.
I don't think he wrote it.
I don't know if he wrote it, but I know Steve Martin's just a great playwright.
But it was just the two of them. Can you imagine seeing that on Broadway? That would have been unbelievable.
Well, Steve Martin's doing that thing with Martin Short now, that thing that's on Netflix. They're going around the country.
Steve Martin's badass.
Yeah.
He needs a doc. But soon. We'll have to wait. So it's good to have you back, man.
Thanks.
You excited to be here?
Yeah.
You combed your hair and everything?
No. Is it combed?
You're like, no,
just I don't think so. I don't own a comb.
You're like, wait a minute. What is that?
I don't own a comb.
Well, we're going to get to our special guest who I think just arrived. Dun. Gabrielle Evans Fields.
Hello.
Say hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Already.
Just handing out applause breaks to everybody.
I love how much you guys know so much about film. That's amazing.
Oh, we love film.
Oh, I went to film school.
Okay, well, let me interview you. Where did you go to film school?
Chapman.
Okay, yeah. Love it.
Thanks.
They have a great film program down there.
They do. Not when I went, but now they do.
Is it Phil Cook? Is it? Does he doing some things down there?
I don't know. I went there 20 years ago. Okay. 18 years ago, so I'm not too familiar with what's going on
there
now.
That's great. And you're a comedian?
I'm a stand-up comedian, yeah. But enough about me. Let's talk about
I love to do. It's like, I used to be I don't want to say used to. It's like a former casting director, so I've been in the business for like 20 years.
We both read your bio. Yeah. So you were a casting director for 20 years?
Pretty much around 12. So the last 8 years I've really gone to producing, but I started in casting, and I love it because I love the talent.
Yeah.
I just love the vibes. I love the talent. And as a producer, my producing partners will see that I'm kind of like, I always baby actors or baby the talent. You know, I really make sure that they have everything they need, a little bit motherly.
Well, they have to be the most comfortable.
Awesome.
You have to make them the most comfortable because they're exposing themselves.
They absolutely do. And they're 100% vulnerable. So you have those producers who are just kind of walking around like, you know, why do they need this? I said, well, I don't think you understand.
They don't understand the process.
Right. So that was pretty much the segue of why I got into producing, because I was being sent scripts all the time. Can you attach this actor? Can you attach this actor? So by the time I actually attached the actor, it was like, wow, you know, this is, I'm really, now that I've attached you to this project, I want to really make sure that this production takes care of you. So almost every time an actor would call from set and say, Gabrielle, can you call the production? And I was...
That's a rarity in this business, the fact they even do that. Like, I haven't heard of many casting directors that do that.
Oh, yeah, I'm known for that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, well, it's just, like you were saying, it's just the actor's so vulnerable. And I learned a lot when I was in cast, you know, when I would sit into casting sessions, I would watch these actors just come and just deliver everything in the room.
Right.
And I would say, wow, you know, he's probably going to realize that the director's probably going to change a lot of this.
Yeah.
And so I always tell actors that there's auditioning style.
Right.
And then there's getting the part.
Getting the job and doing the job are two totally
different things. It's the audition is just, it's a whole skill set.
Yeah. That's why they have classes just for auditioning.
Right.
That's insane.
So I'm going to ask you a really key question right now.
Okay.
That I'm sure every actor that's listening is like, oh my God, I can't believe you asked that. What are you looking for to book an actor? When somebody walks in, do you know right when they walk in? Like, are you already kind of piecing what the character's looking at from notes from a director or a producer, or do you just see it in the performance? Is it the vibe that you get? What is it that kind of pushes you over the edge to know that I'm going to go with this person?
Well, I mean, as a casting director, you know, I have to report to the director. I have to make sure his vision's there. So usually he'll turn in a list of who he kind of thinks or what he's kind of looking for. So we always have these comparables. Oh, I'm looking for like a young Weesey Witherspoon or, you know. As a producer, it really changes because the first thing I talk is the lead. How are we going to get our two leads to tell this story? So that process is a little different. Once I get my main leads, it's sort of like you just know. That's why I tell actors, don't stress out in the lobby. Don't stress the fact that we're calling you in. I see something in you.
Right.
And it's just 100% of is this person right for the part. I don't care if you stumble your lines or it's, you know, I see this nervousness and I just go, gosh, he has no idea that I love him so much. Yeah. And I'm a huge fan and I'm sitting here enjoying this work. But to answer your question, it's a couple elements. It's, is he right for the part visually in our heads? And all that soul searching stuff will come on the set. But usually it's that one thing and you just know. And I wish I could walk in and go, don't even audition for me. We're good.
Yeah. I've done that because I'd gone on tons of auditions and then I started doing some of my own projects and then we would actually do casting sessions. And I'd never been on that side of it. I've been on as the actor. And going in as the actor, it's a completely different thing. And then, like, I finally got to sit on the other side of the table and watch people come in. And it's like that thing. It's just like you just know.
It's amazing.
There's not – you can't quantify it with anything. It's just sort of like, oh, yeah, of course, this guy or this girl.
This is it. You know, or you've been reading that one line for 2 months, and you're like, I want to see how this guy does it. Or in my head, I've imagined.
Or you'll see someone come in with that look, like, oh, this guy, and then he opens his mouth, he's like, oh god.
And that's And then you've got a lot of like, oh well, gosh, it was, you know, these expectations you were kind of hoping, but by the time they actually get into the room, I pretty much, you know, judge, of course, you know, the headshots and stuff. Then I look at the reels and all that. But above the line is usually when we have a go picture and we kind of really are set. And that was amazing on this last film I did. And it's Magic Max. It's in post-production. It's with Ivan Sergei. And that was so interesting because we had cast someone else. And the director, you know, he just came up one night and just said, I'm not feeling it. And we was like, wow, you know, and none of us hesitated. None of us panicked. None of us hesitated to think that we knew we were going to get this lead actor. So it really was Vincent Albo, who's a really good, great production designer. And he was in a film with Rance Howard, which is Ron Howard's father. And I think that film was called Broken. Great film. And pretty much I was like looking at the production designer's resume and all that. And I said, who is that? That is my Max.
Wow.
And next thing you know, I say, well, let's go call Entitled. And then the head person of Entitled calls you and says, what can I do to get him in this film? It's something about that film connected with him. And then, of course, Parker Bates from This Is Us, he plays the young Kevin. Amazing. You just know. And the young actors today are like crazy. We sat with a whole hour with Parker. We just sat with him. And I said, well, are you ready to do your lines? And he said, okay. He just got up there and just read them. I mean, and no paper or anything. So, and then we discovered a young girl named Lotus Blossom. Amazing.
She definitely had hippie parents, for sure.
Yeah, it was really great. So it's things like that. And the reason the director chose her, because it was how she said one line.
Wow.
And it was like sunflower seeds. Something about sunflower seeds. Like the seeds, man, the seeds. It's the way she said it. He was like, that's my girl.
Have you ever had like an instinct that was counter to what the director wanted?
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you shouldn't go with this person. Trust me.
100%. Because a lot of it comes from like set conduct, or you hear just through other CDs, or you hear from producers. You're like, oh, you've got that person. Good luck. And you're like, ah. And you're just like, oh, man, you know.
That always baffles me if anybody's like,
it does. And then it's so disappointing. It is. And it's so disappointing because the thing is, when I was a casting director, I always would say, okay, you know, you're going to work 4 days and you're going to go to Texas and it's going to be hot and just do your best. And, you know, they would call and say, oh, we're miserable. And I said, there was nothing I can do. So I think that sort of was my transition into producing. And then I started financing. So I'm really kind of an executive producer kind of deal.
You're wearing all the hats.
You know, and these hats feel good. Because
it should. With experience comes that instinct.
Right. You know? I mean, because I always worked really close with directors a lot. And I've always had this little, like this little independent film we have called Painted Horses. I booked all the actors from self-tapes. You do self-tapes?
Yeah, well, yeah,
you
I'm self-tapes. Very familiar. I do self-tapes on this phone right here.
I bet you're great at self-tapes.
Oh, it's fun.
You know?
I have fun with it because it's the most relaxed you can be.
And it's a new world, and that's what we want.
And you get 1,000 takes to do it, and then you're like, I like this one. I'm going to send this one off.
Now, let me ask, as an actor, how do you know what your favorite take is?
I usually, whoever's running the tape with me, I'm like, what do you guys feel about that one? And it's usually like the fifth one. Just, it's either the first take or like the fifth one. It's, I don't know why. It's the one you do a little bit differently than all the other ones.
And then you found your rhythm as well.
You found your rhythm. Yeah. You found the dialogue clicks the right way. I don't know. It's just something. So either that first one, you either nail it on the first one, or it's like the fifth one after you just get completely comfortable and relaxed.
Yeah. I mean, I love that because it really, you have these headshots come in and you're like, wow, you've got great credits. And then you see them on self-tape and you're like, wow, that's it? So to answer your question, really, the self-tape has helped.
I like the self, because I'm a comedian, so I'm used to performance. When I go in a room full of people, I'll amp it up because that's just what I'm used to doing on stage. And that's not, sometimes that's counterproductive to what's, you're supposed to do in the audition room. That's why I do like the self tape, because you can like, oh, I need to pull it back a little bit.
Right.
You know? Whereas instead of going in and doing a show for everybody, it's...
Wow, that's a whole different world.
Oh yeah,
right?
It's a completely different.
And
completely.
By the way, I do go to comedy shows. If I'm looking for that one guy, I'm looking for that valet guy, I'm looking for that really fun.
You're looking for that valet guy.
You know,
you're
well,
like, you would be perfect well, as valet guy number six.
Well, the reason, like, for instance, there's a script coming up, and I'm like, wow, this valet guy plays four times in the movie, and he obviously is going to be with our main star. So he has shows coming around, so I'll go see him live. And if I like this, you know, his presence and his energy, it's
right.
It's just something clicks,
right.
And that's what's amazing about it. So I always tell the actor, you know, don't get all, you know, tied up and nervous and sweaty palms, because you don't just relax and be yourself.
What was your moment of zen to just kind of fall in love with film and want to be involved? What did it take to become a casting director?
Yeah, I mean, I have been watching films since a very, very long time. We'd watch the Oscars and all that film thing, and my whole apartment was... I have Best Picture starting from, I think it was Wings.
Wow.
All the way to the last film, Shape of Water.
That's right.
So I have pictures, you know, of every film, little poster. So I've always loved films. And I've always loved the casting part of it. I'm a big Alfred Hitchcock fan, and I know that casting is everything.
I have Vertigo sitting on my coffee table right now.
Oh, it's the best.
Netflix.
Do you like, yeah. Have you guys ever seen The Room?
Oh, yeah.
The Room, and then, of course, it's...
Disaster Artist.
Yeah, of course. And speaking of Disaster Artist, the script supervisor, or the guy that played by Seth Rogen, was the real guy on my last film, who was a script supervisor, and Sandy Sinclair. And it was really amazing because he was like, oh, I'm the guy from the Disaster Artist.
I actually found out today that Tommy Wiseau's character in The Room, in the original draft, the original first draft that he wrote, was a vampire, and he got in a car and the car flew away at the end of the movie.
What?
That's how the movie was supposed to end. The original The Room script, that's how it ended.
It's, you know...
And someone came in and pulled that back. I'm like, yeah. No. All this other stuff is fine, but we gotta pull this back.
Yeah, not my favorite movie.
Oh my God.
But it's the... But quintessential, it's a quintessential of coming to Hollywood, where do I spend my money?
But I actually saw a screening where he was there. And he had the double belts going on. He was talking about the whole making of the movie and what it took. And it was crazy. I was like, man, this guy's really the dude.
Well, that's really strange because our script supervisor on this Magic Max film we did, he's the real guy that Seth Rogen played.
Wow.
And, you know, in between sets, I would be sitting with him in Video Village. And I would lean over and I said, how much money does he really have? And he says, oh, he's got billions. And I always said... Is everything in that? Did James Franco hit everything? And he said, pretty much.
Wow.
He's crazy. And that guy is a brilliant script supervisor. So anytime we had guests on set, they would always come up and sit with Sandy. So it was really, really strange.
Did you start doing PA work? Or how did you kind of get into the business?
Yeah, sorry, we got off
disaster. That's what it's about.
No, actually, I really just started in casting. I just really, that was the one thing I wanted to do. Because I saw the creative, and I saw how casting was so important.
Oh, it's very.
So I just started. I mean, you start by answering phones, you sort of headshots, you do all that. I can't remember. It was so long ago.
Yeah, my wife interned. She was trying to get into casting for a little bit, and then she got out of it. But you had to start with answering the phones, the envelopes, and
sure,
all that stuff,
yeah, submissions and putting cast lists together and things. And then I just said, well, I just started really. Really kicking in gear in 2006, where I said, okay, I've got my own casting, my name, and let's do some production. And then it just really started producing really like 3.5 years ago, where I said, okay, well, if I got this actor and this actor, I need this much money, right? And
right.
So then I got into the financing, which is the financing model for independent films. It was pretty much designed by Cassie and Elwes from William Morris, and I love him. We were going to do a project together, and we had to put it on hold for a couple of years. But he pretty much took the financial model. And as you know, films and television and Netflix, all that stuff's kind of changing the platforms. So it's giving the independent producers a really chance to create, because it's about creation.
Yeah,
right.
It's about creating.
Absolutely.
you know, and a good script, because there's nothing more lame than a bad script.
I know. It's very true. Before we get into all the production credits,
sure.
What was the movie and or actor slash actress that you are most proud to be a part of while you were casting director?
I cast this movie called Windsor, and it was in Texas, and it was so great. It was a first-time director. He financed and directed and produced his film. And Madeline Deutsch, who is Leigh Thompson's daughter and Zoe Deutsch's sister, she just, there's something about her.
She's awesome.
Maddie Deutsch is amazing, and I knew she was going to be a great screenwriter. She's this, I mean, when she landed in Tennessee, she was right to work. You know, you only have, 15, 16 days to really get to know the cast, gets to collaborate and get to know each other. But Maddie Deutsch came and just hit it out of the park. She was in Texas with Barry Corbin. And I remember that because we really wanted another actress. And she, at the last minute, she said, you know, her agent, I mean, we had the deal done. She said, well, she decided to go do this TV show. And we're like, okay, well, maybe I'm supposed to be doing Maddie Deutsch. So I did Madeline Deutsch for Windsor with Barry Corbin in Texas.
That's awesome.
Great, great movie. Great film.
And then you moved into production, and what were like the obstacles that you kind of didn't see coming just moving into that?
I mean, just basically the putting the financials together for a film and knowing that you've got to have, you know, this town, which really is sort of upsetting sometimes, but they put you in a box. They're like, oh, you're a casting director, and what are you? Well, I know one thing I know is talent, and I know what the talent is worth internationally, domestically, and all that. So that's the one thing we do know. But basically, a lot of the struggles was, how do I go from casting director to producer to get to sell my project?
Well, how do you get them to see you as something other than what you've been doing?
Right. And because I've had a lot of good relationships with ICM, you know, I know a particular agent over there who's really great, who helped me navigate and get to talent and scripts. I think that's always, that was my first challenge, is getting to be like, okay, you know, let's, you know, put everything forward. And, you know, as much as I want to cast films, I turned a lot of films away just to focus on what we're doing.
Right.
So I think the hardest part is really getting the strong offers. You know, we know what name talent is worth, and really getting someone to say, hey, you know, I believe in your project, and let's write checks together.
You have a movie coming out called Running From My Roots, right?
Yes, and Running From My Roots is amazing. It's Janelle Arthur from American Idol. She was like number 4 American Idol. Wonderful, wonderful country artist. And Nia Sue from Dance Moms. I actually changed the script for Nia. She went, the character was age 7, and I liked her so much, I said, I'm going to make her, you know, 14, 16. And so we had the script rewritten for that. Again, another perks about being producers. Like, well, let's kind of change that.
Make it happen.
And that's such a great, great little country film. We shot that in Smithville, Texas, where Hope Floats, that film. And the cool thing about this film, it has Erin O'Connell, it has Joel Rush, it has Lee Ellen Baker, and of course Nia and Dina Carter. And it's a really, there's such a strong soundtrack that goes next to it, and we're super excited.
I love music related
country
films. Yeah, it's like, it's, I love it. I'm a musician, so it's like I always look for those stories, because there's nothing better than music and film being married together.
You know, just, it's 50% of your film.
Yep.
It absolutely is. So we decided, well, this song is so good, Running From My Roots, that we named the title, the picture of it, the picture Running From My Roots, and the strong soundtrack, which we're going to drop August 5th.
So when you're wearing the producer hat, do you take off the casting director hat, or are you kind of dancing on the line?
You know, it's, oh man, it's one of those things that are just, they just don't let you forget that you're the casting director. There's a cast problem. So Gabrielle, go talk to that person.
Yeah, like, but I'm the producer.
But I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, it's really, it's just stay. We have a saying that stay in your lane. But like Quentin Tarantino, he casts his own films.
Right.
So what I'm going to start doing is, because I love my colleagues, I'm going to start reaching out to them and just see a different vision. Because sometimes when you're so close to the project, you're like, well, I don't know if that person was really right. But it's really difficult because people, you know, you see your name all over the cast sheet. I'm like, I don't need to see my name on the cast sheet. But, you know, you need to so that SAG knows and all this stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And how long from the time that you got the screenplay to shooting to editing, what was the time span?
Gosh, on this, Magic Mac just got to post-production. We just wrapped in April 20th. And Running From My Roots was, usually we like to stay around between 12 and 18 weeks of, you know, pre-pro and pre-prep and development and all that. So usually it takes around 18, maybe between 12 and 18 weeks by the time we're on set.
That's a long time. It's pretty good. I mean, compared to like most indie shoots, sometimes they're like a month.
Yeah, right? No, it's too stressful for me. It's too, I can't deal, especially on a 14-day shoot. And you're like, oh, you know, I mean, I would like actually long. I prefer between maybe 14 weeks of just, you know, half development and half pre-production, because you want to get your team.
Well, that's just gonna make principal go so much smoother. More pre-pro you do.
Yeah, I mean, there's the saying, what, you know, you're really shooting the film in pre-production.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just get out there and it's like your ingredients. You know, you put everything together, but something always goes wrong. It always does.
Yeah, well, that's when you bake it in post-production.
Oh gosh, you know that saying, "We'll save it in post." I'm like, no, we're not saving it in post.
But it always happens that way.
I love post-production, though. I think that's where, obviously, the movie's made.
You seem to have an affinity to Texas. Tell us a little bit about that.
Gosh, I don't. I keep ending up in Texas.
Yeah.
I swear I do.
Cheap to shoot there, huh?
You know, not really.
Oh, really? It's not?
No, well, I don't think so. I mean, we found this little town in Smithville for Running From My Roots. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you got that hometown kind of show up and say, hey, film, like the mayor, and you're like, hey, we're doing a film here, and everyone wants to extend, but I mean the dollars go, so
yeah.
You know, but I actually shot I shot two films in Texas, and another film under the Silver Lining banner is Painted Horses. We shot that in Franklin, Tennessee. So
you're really hitting the South.
Hitting the South.
You got, you know, something with the South. I like
and
it.
And why in August?
Oh my God, Tennessee in August.
All the movies have been in August. Are most?
Every single
one.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Why?
That's like hot.
That's brutal.
You know, it's amazing. The agents call up and say, you know, like Barry Corbin says, okay, you need Barry Corbin in 110 degrees in Texas. And we're like, well, that's what the director wants. But all three films are shot there. But we're going to be doing a film called The Minefield. And it was written by the Oscar Award winner, Quinn Ruchter. I hope I pronounced his name right. He won the Oscar for The Deer Hunter.
Oh, nice.
And this is a film called Minefield, and it is insane.
Wow.
It is so great. The script is like, are you kidding me?
It's like a thriller? Drama?
Well, no, it's minefields. It's about this former CIA agent who once placed all these minefields in the Middle East.
Oh, jeez.
And he grew a conscience. He said,
I got to go take them back.
But how he, you know, how he remembers where they're at is the keys to his piano playing.
What?
Oh, yes. So he won the Oscar for The Deer Hunter.
Wow.
We love that script. We loved it so much. Right. That I'm like,
the Russian roulette scene alone is...
And yeah, and he's got great stories. And, you know, as the writer, he's going to be coming on set. And, you know, first thing he said is, you know, if we do this movie, could I sit with the talent? I said, hello. Oh,
they would love, I mean,
yes.
Pick his brain and just talk to him. Oh, my God.
Amazing. So that's one of the things that we have for 2019.
That's amazing.
It's called The Minefield, and it's amazing.
And you're also one of the heads of the Lady Filmmakers.
I love Patricia over Lady Filmmakers. Yeah, she always invites me to things and be Lady Filmmakers. You know, I always hate to say that there should be a movement. It's not a movement. It's we're all people, and women are just as creative.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's about just supporting the sisterhood, you know, of filmmaking and trying to get those numbers up.
Yeah, just get more people making good stuff. And...
You know, yeah, having more male writers write about women, but get it right.
Right. That's why you need women in these positions.
You know what I mean? We can kind of get it, but I mean, I don't like dividing the sexes. I think creative people in general can do it, but, you know, fair is fair. So, yes, I love Patricia Lady Filmmakers.
That's awesome. What's your favorite genre of film?
Well, I'm
either to work in or watch.
Well, I'm a comedy person.
All right. All right.
I love the rib-shaking comedy. I love it. I love the little romantics, how they end up with whatever the situation is. And of course, you know, as a Christian, I love those redeeming films that make you feel good and smile. Yeah. And you know, you don't have to cover your ears when mom and dad walk in the room. That's one of the things when we go through the lines, you know, we've had to change some things in the script. We're like, think about the audience, you know, just think about the audience a little bit. You know, you don't want, you know, I always imagine, you know, because when we screen our films, you know, I'm going to invite my mom and my parents and my aunts and uncles. And I just, unless the character actually has to say something, if he's married to that, that's fine. But it's awkward anyway. You're nervous showing him your film.
Right.
And then to have a bunch of F-bombs in it, you know.
Or like a blatantly naked scene.
Or, hey, let's just slit your throat right here. But I'm a comedy, lightheaded. I mean, just love to laugh. I love to have people in the room. Have you seen Tag?
I haven't seen Tag.
Okay, you're it.
Okay.
You have to see this
movie.
I want to
see it.
Talk about laughing with friends. I mean, just, it was great. Jeremy Renner, John Hamm.
But it's like, I was amazing. when the preview came out, I'm like, it's a really high concept idea of just to base a movie about a game of tag. And I was curious, like, how that played out. Like,
well, it was a true story.
Yeah.
It's a true story in the Wall Street Journal.
I actually saw the interview, I think, with Megyn Kelly with the actual guys.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And it was awesome. They said they would do it at a funeral.
And it's still going on.
It's still going on. Yeah. And they had video of the guys, like, catching, you know, tagging the other guy. And just, like, it was crazy. It was like, dude.
Really good. And you know the thing I loved about it? Because they finally took comedy and they put these really cool special effects. So you'll see Jeremy Renner just like going across the room and it's badass.
Well, now so you've produced films.
Yes.
You've
financed
been a casting
films.
Director. You've financed films.
Yep.
Does this make you want to direct films?
You know what? I'm so nervous around technology. It's a joke. I can't even really like open my iPhone. I mean, okay, why is every equipment black?
Make everything look the same.
Exactly. But it's very frightening to see all this equipment. It's very intimidating to me. But story-wise, you know, I would love to do that if I surround myself with
co-direct and have someone do more of the technical camera angle stuff, and you're more involved with the actors and the story, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I can already see her
do a co-directing thing.
No, thanks.
Yeah, no, I mean, actually, I've thought about it because people just say, you know, you tell the story, you understand what the story is, because I can relate with the actors.
Yeah, have someone work with the actors, and you have the other guy do the.
Yeah,
camera
and then
you
get these producers, when you get a project, you're like, okay, I can't be the only producer. So then you get producers for hires, and there's usually a producer who's just straight jacket, just by the book. And then you've got me, which is super creative, like, oh, cool, yeah, you know. He needs a little time on the script. You know, they're like, okay, this is costing us. It's costing your dollars. But I'm just so very close to the talent. I can't help it. It's in me. And if they need the time they need, I'm okay with that.
So. You said it comes down to the screenplay. There's nothing worse than a bad screenplay.
Oh,
well, if you got no bones, you got nothing. You know?
What makes the words jump out of the page for you?
I think just really if I'm on page 10 and it's just not going anywhere, it has to start wherever you're going to do. You have to get us right. You know, it was even people who are financiers have to say, well, the script is great. You have to be able to keep up the pace of your characters. And most important to me is the character arc. Where is this character going? Where's the beginning? Where's the end? And then you could kind of shift structurally, but you have to grab me right away.
Yeah.
Like most. It's just like a good book. It's no different. Yeah. It's just, you know.
Good characters
longer.
Right out of the gate.
Tell the story. What's it about? And, you know, does this character have this redeeming quality? What makes this character go from here to there? I love those arcs.
Story arc, character arc.
Got to have great coverage, you know, and a great script gets around LA real quick, so.
Is there a topic that you think has been undiscovered or not talked about enough that you'd like to shape your next films around?
You know, I was thinking about this one film, and I saw that Sam Rockwell and what's her name, Michelle Williams, are doing Fosse.
You know?
I thought, you know, great. I love that because I used to dance when I was younger. And I want to be able to have, like, my 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-nephew and nieces understand what good cinema was.
Right.
You know, and it's like I was thinking about, even on the interview, on my way up here, was like, gosh, I got to get that one thing again. And I really love To Sir With Love. I love those types of movies, Valley of the Dolls. You know, I'm, you know, Mexican-American. I want to get those Latina actresses, and just something is, it's not quite there yet. I want to talk about the struggle of what makes, you know, this ethnic group so amazing or something. And I mean, they've tapped on it, but it's not quite there yet. I don't think people really understand the how many amazing women are in this world. So
I like that. Eddie, you get free reign.
Free reign. Back to the you know, how Hollywood paints us all in boxes. And even then, you as a casting director, you have to deal with that looking at actors, because do you have that bias when you see it, when you're casting, with as far as actors in boxes, or do you try to break yourself out of that mold?
No, I'm always the one that says, who says you have to be this?
Right.
Who says you have to be the gardener, or who says you have, you know, wait, stop. Who says that?
Because it's like, as being a comedian, it's hard for me to get auditions outside of comedy, because my entire resume reads comedy.
Right.
And it takes, like, it's hard for a casting person to see me as anything outside of that.
But I've only met you a couple minutes when I walked in, and I saw, wow, who's this sincere, intelligent
person? You haven't seen my act. That's, okay.
You're like, that's Nikki, and this is not.
That was my son. He left already.
Yeah. No, but I saw something in your eyes that's very deep and very vulnerable.
Oh, I've got a question. I can't wait to ask you this question.
And very sincere. You know, until you told me you were a comedian, you were just very, you know, just very earthy and grounded. So
all right, Eddie just
there's
walked.
I haven't shaved
there.
In a while. That
Eddie just walked into your audition. You have free reign to cast him. What's the character you're like? I see you as...
I haven't combed my hair. Imagine me with combed hair. It was combed.
Gosh, there's so many things. I mean, I see you as, you know, of course, the dad.
Yeah.
That's
what I am now.
Really.
I wear it.
On and off the set.
I wear it all the time.
The single, you know, bachelor. I see you the New York, you know, guy who has the apartment next door. I see you as a detective. I see you as a doctor.
Ooh, detective.
Oh, there. I like it.
So many different. I could not box them.
That's see, I like that. You couldn't box me. My own personal experience in this business. It's been, once you start comedy, once you lead with comedy, that's all people see you as.
Yeah, of course.
You
no,
know?
That's it.
Like, oh, you're a comedian. You can't do this.
Like, yeah. Can you reach in and all that? But I bet you I can give you a scene. And
oh, comedians are the most messed up people on the planet, man.
Well, I just heard you guys talking about Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a deep person.
You want some dark stuff.
He's deep.
Hire a comedian in a dramatic role. Oh, my God.
No, Robin Williams in 1 Hour Photo.
Yeah.
And you
Twisted.
Said, well, you said Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting.
That's my favorite.
Fantastic.
Robin, I mean, just he makes
you
cry.
Got an Oscar for that. Yep.
So I think comedians are very misunderstood, and I think that there's a lot of layers in there.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of pain.
We go up on stage
channel.
Every night
yeah.
and get that out.
Yeah.
You know?
See, you couldn't have me in a stage like that if you paid me $1 million. Okay, well, maybe. But no, I'm completely stage fright. I can't do it.
You're like, I don't want
to. I can't go in front of the camera. I can't do. No. That's not what I'm always about. I'm about the work. But yeah, who's your agent?
Patrick Wellborn.
I love Patrick.
He's my agent.
I love Patrick. They have Kalani over there.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Okay,
I love Patrick.
Allegory Creative Management.
You got a great management.
Yes, they're great. I love them. I don't work as much as I want, but whoever
does. Well, tell
does,
them that you need know. To come out for some dramatic roles. Because
yeah, Eddie.
You know, get just yeah. challenge. This
tell them
show.
The next detective role.
The next detective. Gruffy detective.
That's
you know,
right.
Corner or something, you know. Yeah. You can do that. But, you know, that's another thing. We haven't talked about agents and managers. I tell actors to control your own career.
I tell this guy that all the time.
Okay, because when an email comes in and says, can we get this person for $200,000? And they're like, no, we need more zeros. The right. actor has no idea.
Right.
And when I run into that actor, I'm like, oh.
You would have been pervy for this.
They're like, right. never heard of that.
Can you say that one more time?
That's not my. There's not emails coming in about me needing more zeros. That's not happening.
No. And look, and I'm what I'm not going to do is because I love agents and managers. This is a working relationship. That when you send an offer and you know the script is good, I didn't want to mention this other film because I'm going to be co-producing with someone else. But an example is, we send this offer and it was like, she goes, well, what do you, you know, is this a monetary amount? And he said, well, just see if the actor wants to do the script, and then y'all can worry about how right. much he expects.
Right.
And there's so many producers that are so afraid to
offend
you know,
people.
Well, you know, if I don't put, you know, the number, you know, like,
yeah, there's some number you know, oriented. And
yeah, and the agent's like, look, they want to know two things by the time they call him up. Is this real? Do you guys have your dates ready? Are you guys ready? Are you greenlit? Are you guys ready to go? Because let's not waste each other's time.
Right.
Call up the manager and say, look, I have this on my slate for 2020. I've got these other films, but I would really love XYZ to read this. And some of the managers, most of them will say, sure, send the script. And they're right back and say, wow, this is a great script. Circle me back when you guys are ready. But a lot of young producers or just producers in general, and I don't mean young youth-wise, they'll send in an offer and it's got these numbers and like, well, why? And I said, you know what? This person is sitting here with your offer for this amount, and then you've got Steven Spielberg here that's you're working on a studio for 2 days. It's not about the money sometimes. It's right. about his availability and that relationship that you have. But a lot of agents, you know, won't show certain actors offers. I'm not saying 100% that that's happened because I don't want to get in trouble, but I don't know that.
Right.
But there's a lot of producers that think that it's about the money. No, it's about who's directing. It's about the
story.
Production, the story. And, you know, if you're an actor and you've worked 20, 25 years, you're going to want to say so to say, who's my co-star? It's all about packaging. But, you know, I always tell actors, take your own career, okay? If you have a great script and you know that this is your sitting with a director, you don't know who that next director is going to be.
Right.
He's going to be hot. If the story's great and it's good for your branding, just tell the manager, say, hey, you know, I'd really love to do this. Go check this out. And when
I'm
it's
very happy Eddie's here to listen
what?
To
when
this.
When it's ready to
what?
Go, when it's ready to go, then you go. But
I've been driving my own music career from day one, and the things that I've been able to accomplish has been unbelievable.
Because you're creative, right?
Yeah, and I've had big management, and I've had them not do as much as I've been able to do for myself, and it's been a testament to just always driving the bus.
Well, just remember, they work for you.
Right.
So it's like if something's not, you know, you just call them, you know, I don't know what the protocol is or how agents or actors' agent deal how actors deal with agents, but I run into a lot of them at screenings and go, wow, that would have been, and they're like, oh, I've never heard of this script, or I had this one actress, which obviously I can't name, this script was so amazing, she fired her entire agents for not sending
wow.
her the script.
Good for her.
She was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
How come this isn't being made?
It's the filter
and how
process.
Come you're
it's
not helping this right. producer
right.
get it done?
Right.
Putting names, booking your names, you know, because it's all about why should the check writer write this? You know,
right.
it has to be have talent that makes sense. Project has to make sense.
Well, it comes down to the creativity, not the bottom line. That's what annoys me about Hollywood.
It really does.
In general, about any of it. It's like,
it really does.
It's not about, sometimes it's about the content. It's about the story. It's about the working. It's about the relationships, the teamwork.
Right. And actors have it so, I mean, the numbers are astronomical. So if there's a way that actors could show the casting directors out there, hey, I'm not just the stand-up guy. I can play a dramatic role. Just
right.
give me the opportunity. Stop looking at the credits. You know I can do it.
Right.
So sometimes it's really, you got to take it hands-on because life is short and the Hollywood actor life is even shorter. So you got to capture lightning as soon as you can.
I know.
And Todd Patrick said hi.
I will.
Eddie, you got to get in some auditions for Gabrielle.
It's not the audition. It's getting in the audition. That's the once I'm in, I'm all right. But you know.
Well, things are. I believe things are going to change. And to, you know, thank you for having me on my show because I just met an actor and I love that.
See,
isn't that great?
That's what we do. Brandy, I was like, hey, you should show up tonight.
Yeah, that's great.
No, but you know what? Honestly, you should put him in your Neck Detective story.
Yeah, write a detective story for
Daddy Detective.
Well, then,
I'm telling you.
Well, when Magic Max rolls out and we'll have screens that we're going to screen at the DGA. We'll combine. You can interview the director who was just here.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, I love Eddie. He's just one of the most talented people I know. And any project would be lucky to have him. And I've worked with...
This is an infomercial.
No, I'm just saying.
Your 20%.
I've worked with a lot of actors. I've
already given
a lot of
20
artists
to other people.
Yeah. And man, there's just something about him. He's just got a lot of creative energy.
But how wonderful are you to even do that? See, that's what makes it amazing.
See that?
That's great.
Yeah, maybe you're brown on the inside.
Yeah, that's really great.
Well, maybe we're really brothers. No, that's what it's about. So, you know what? It's pretty amazing all the things you're doing, all the projects you've been kind of spearheading, pushing forward, organizing. It's the hardest part. It's just the follow through.
Thankless job.
So, real quick, where can people find your releases? Where can people find more information about you? And how can people audition for you or be a part of your next movie that you're producing?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're going to be coming up with the next film pretty much in probably 6 to 8 weeks. And how you can find me, of course, you know, I'm on Instagram. And, of course, you got the Facebook over there. I don't know what my tag is. I think it's Gabe Evans Fields. I had to cut
the
URL.
I added you to see
fabulous.
If I could tag you on the post I wrote about
and then on Twitter. But most important thing is we've got when there is a breakdown, or usually I say, hey, we're going into production here. It's, you know, don't hesitate to drop me an email. And
see
say,
this?
Hey, you know, here's my headshot,
this
man.
This is what it's about.
I want to work.
I just, found you on Instagram.
See?
Cool. I want to work.
No, that's what it's about, honestly.
I want to work. Say, Gabrielle. Like... You know, I just think that people really need to connect and say, hey, if there's a small role, check it out. Here's my role.
Well, the funny thing is it's like the business is about the content, but really it's about the people. It's about the relationships.
Always about the people.
And it's about, like, creative energy between all of that. And the zeros will follow all of that. It's like all that matters is what you are able to leave behind and how you correspond with
others.
That's
right. And actors, you know, they that's why I'm so attracted to them. I treat them like they're my children, you know. And again, that gets in the way sometimes of producing because you're like, they don't need that.
You don't want to crack
like,
the whip.
Yes, they do.
No, most good casting directors I've met have had, you almost feel like, I remember I forgot her name, it was 15 years ago. She reminded me of my actual mother. Like, I've walked in, like, it feels like you're in a room with your own mother. And it puts you at such ease to take chances and risks.
And I can tell you, there's, you know, Billy DeMotta. I mean, those guys are just, there's so many casting colleagues of mine that are just, if you sit around, you know how they have that round table thing?
Yeah.
I wish they would do a round table of all casting directors because we have literally changed directors' minds on the spot and said, you got to go with this person.
That's fantastic.
You got to go. Like Jennifer Lawrence and me, we can do that because we understand if they trust our vision. That's why they call it casting director.
Right.
Because we get to direct them in the room. But we're very close to our directors. So we can say, you know, there's something about this person you take a chance with, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why this is why I got into producing.
Fantastic. Gabrielle Evans-Field, you are an amazing interview. You're an amazing woman.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to see your movies. Running From My Roots.
Running From Our Roots.
Going to be released when? Do you
it's going to be released September 25th. We have a red carpet on September 5th. Landmark Theaters.
You got two passes for Eddie and myself.
Absolutely. We get the red carpet. That? We're going to do some Facebook Live. We're going to have a Q&A.
Nice.
And then Magic Max is going to be out sometime in spring.
Awesome. Well, you're going to have to come back.
I would love to.
Let us know about future projects.
I would love to.
It's such a pleasure to cross paths with you.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
On behalf of Eddie and myself, we'll see you all next week.
Bye.